You are listening to the Hey Presley Podcast, episode number 9 with Jill Peterson. It's about helping people see their potential and to elevate what they already have. They're already enough, but how do we elevate it so that they're 1% better every single day? Before we dive into this awesome interview, I just want to share the featured review. This one is from iTunes, and it's written by CShay21, and it says, quote, "I am literally so incredibly proud of you, my friend. We met many years ago, and even then, you always had this quiet confidence and strong passion for people. Working with you as my nutritionist has been nothing short of amazing. Your episode with Lindsay was exactly what I needed to hear today. I love seeing you live out your dreams, my friend," end quote. Thank you so much for that review. And I am truly having so much fun putting together these episodes for you guys. The interviews with really insightful people, sharing my tips and tricks. I'm just really loving every moment, and it means the world to me to hear you're getting something out of it. To spread the love, pop over and leave a review in your podcast app, and you may even be shouted out on the next show. Jill is one of the most special souls that I have ever had the privilege of knowing. Her drive and leadership skills and radical empathy have enabled her to make moves in the corporate world for the last several years, but recently she decided to take the plunge and start her own business where she can fully embrace her gifts and extensive personal development experience and seize the opportunity to empower moms and young women. And we're going to get into all of that at the beginning, and then we'll dive into all things taking risks, fostering the kind of energy that you want and need in your life, and tangible ways to feed your soul. I love that when I asked her if she'd come on the show, she said, quote, "It makes me nervous, but that's one of my indicators to go for it." Males and females alike, this interview will inspire and lift you up in so many ways. And by the end of this show, you're going to admire Jill just as much as I and the rest of the communities that she has touched do. Enough introduction. Please enjoy my conversation with Jill Peterson. So as long as I've known you, you've been working at Lululemon. So, but I understand you had a corporate, you know, salary job before that. So what were you doing before you worked at Lulu?
Before Lululemon, I was selling wine, and I kind of stumbled into the industry because someone on campus was recruiting, and it like left like a planted a seed where I was like, oh, I think that company was hiring, and I guess I'll go after it. So when I was in college, I never drank wine. I was just like a college student drinking beer and eating pizza. But I also knew that I was ready for, I was ready to just get after it, get after the grind. And I heard Gallo, that's who the company that I worked for, it was a great company to work for. So I jumped on in and quickly learned that I was one of the few females in the industry.
Oh, interesting.
It was a very male-driven industry. And for a few years, I just grinded. My job was to go into retail or grocery stores and to sell in those displays. So I had a huge portfolio. We'd have different initiatives and incentives, and I'd have to go in and charm the liquor manager or the store manager. And
that's a useful skill, though.
Right? And then and sell in whatever we were selling, and we'd get compensated for it. So it became and then that kind of like started my passion and love for wine now today. But I quickly learned that I was like hungry for that achievement. And when roles would open up to become a district manager or to oversee people and really manage them, I would always raise my hand but never get chosen. And that's where I first felt like, wow, this really is a boys' industry. And even though I proved myself time and time again, there came a point where I was just like, I was at a glass ceiling. And I didn't really know that at the time, but then that just started, like, it created this rabbit hole that I then, like, kept going down. It was like, men, and I was like, just,
this frustration.
And and comparing myself and totally losing who I was, and it really ate at me as a person. Like, I started, I'm super optimistic and positive, and I was just waking up every day miserable. I was just doing it because it gave me money. I had to live. I didn't know what else to do. I was fresh out of college, and it made me like realize, like, gosh, there has to be more, but I need a sign. I'm like ready for something different. But I kept waking up every day unhappy, and I needed to change.
And so what caused you to change?
Luckily, yoga. So I've been practicing yoga since I was 17.
Wow.
My mom and dad divorced when I was 18. And yoga was my mom's way to recover from her divorce. And to keep close with my mom, I was like, I'll go with you. And then quickly found that I loved yoga. So I'm from Colorado originally and moved to Arizona for school. And I needed a studio as an outlet. And I found At One Yoga, which if people are listening who used to go to At One, we'd be like, yay, At One. but it was this amazing local studio that you just felt community. You felt like the second that you walked into these doors, all of the crap that happened from your day disappeared. Oh, and you got on your mat and this incredible instructor would come and lead you. And you're listening to this music and you're flowing, and like an hour goes by and you're like, wow, that was amazing. Yeah. So yoga was my outlet to work. But in yoga, I found this girl in front of me wearing the cutest pants. I was like, amazing. What are you wearing?
That's what we all look at yoga. Let's be real.
Right. I'm like, look how cute her pants are. Oh, wait. And the instructor's like, you know, no judgment. And like, look within. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm distracted by this girl's cute pants. And it was a little symbol, and it looked like a girl's wig. And I went up to her after class and I was like, where did you get these cute pants from? She was like, they're Lululemon. I'm like, what? She was like, yeah, there's this little showroom that's maybe a few miles from here, but they have odd hours. So go check it out. I'm like, okay, cool. So I left yoga and I went to my boyfriend's house and I was telling him about this girl's pants. I'm like, they were so cute. And then I got online and started Googling the company. And sure enough, Lululemon came up and I just like got lost. I spent probably my entire evening researching the company, and I'm like, wait, this is calling to my values and what I want to be up to. And is there a store here? How do I get a job here? How can I leave this job in wine and come work for this company that like feels like me? And I found that there was a little showroom in Scottsdale. So I would go and I visited the showroom and just introduced myself to the team, bought my first pair of Lululemon pants, and was just hooked from there on out. And then I would continue to go to work. I would continue to go to yoga, but there was that thought of like, how do I work for this company?
Yeah.
Like, I still just like love it. I honestly don't know anything about it besides that it sells yoga pants, and they talk a lot about personal development and envisioning goals. And I want to do that. So, fast forward, the showroom was closing and they were opening a new store up at the Scottsdale Quarter. And I was like, this is my ticket. I'm going to go open that store in some capacity, whether I'm a seasonal employee or whether I'm just a part of the team. So I put my application in. I actually didn't get chosen. A friend of mine who I told about got an interview before me. And he got hired and then told the manager, like, hey, you should interview my friend. And then I had this incredible interview at a yoga studio with another girl that I'm still friends with today. And it was a very intimate group interview setting where it didn't feel like a interview. It felt like a conversation. And the store manager at the time interviewed me and was just really curious about my life. And I was like, what is happening here? I feel like I should be lying on a couch. And she was, you know, giving me therapy. But in that moment, she asked a question about my happiness, and I just spilled the beans. I really shared my heart and got really vulnerable of how unhappy I was at my job. And a week prior to me sitting in front of her, my boyfriend, now husband, he just landed his dream job. And I remember being really happy for him, but I also remember going to bed hoping and wishing that that was me.
Yeah.
I was really jealous.
Absolutely.
And Ryan in the interview was like, why are you unhappy? Like, you know that you have choice in everything that you do. You have choice to wake up and to pick the clothes that you wear. You have choice to brush your teeth or not brush your teeth. And you have a choice to like leave this unhappy job, and you have a choice to choose happiness. And in that moment, I was like, oh my gosh, like an arrow shot in my heart, and it like erupted. And I just remember committing to her in that moment. I was like, I want to work for you. And the next day I went in and I put my 2 weeks in.
That's amazing.
I came home and I told Matt, my husband, boyfriend at the time, I was like, I just quit my job. And he's like, well, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. Oh, and he's like, how much money are you making? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. But you know what? It's not about the money.
Yeah.
It's not about the salary, job, and the benefits. It's about my happiness and waking up every day and loving my life, because I was miserable and I was taking everyone else down around me down with me.
Yeah.
And that was
where
it.
It began.
Yeah. That's where it began.
And how did you kind of ride that? I mean, high, for lack of a better adjective, because I could totally see how in that moment it would be so invigorating. And then, you know, a couple of days later, you're like, well, yeah, like, am I going to be paid hourly? And like, do I only work 20 hours a week? And am I going to be able to keep food on the table? Like, did you have any moment like, wow, I left this really stable thing that I've been doing and I'm good at, to do something that you never had sold apparel or like knew anything about apparel other than identifying cute pants in class?
Yeah, I absolutely had that like, oh my goodness moment.
What
like,
did I do?
What did I do? I remember calling my mom and she was like, I paid 4 years of your college to go sell pants. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm disappointing people who have helped me get to this place. And I have to prove to them that this was the right choice. And I didn't even know if it was the right choice, but I just felt so free in that moment because the company and what the company stood for and the values and everything that it possessed was me.
Yeah.
Like, Lululemon is me. If I were to share what my values were, it was like, it was just this beautiful alignment that I knew was the right fit.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, what needs to, like, in my life, what can I cut out? Do I have to shop at Nordstrom's, or can I maybe shop at Target?
Yeah.
Because I want to be happy. And do I need all of this crap that I was just buying? No. So I definitely had to eliminate some things, but it was all things that like I needed to probably evaluate,
yeah.
Like to shine the light on and be like, is this necessary?
It's adding to my happiness anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, it was an hourly job. I got paid $11 an hour. That's and
amazing.
I was extremely happy. That was the best risk that I took, to feel like myself again.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And so you worked for Lulu for about 8 years. Is that right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
8 years. It was crazy. And Ryan was really the first person in that interview to create possibility for me. And little did I know that she was goal coaching me in that conversation. And that's where my curiosity really perked when she helped me. She asked me a couple of really great questions to help me answer the question myself. Like, what does my happiness look like and what am I going to do about it? And I'm like, I want to be that for people. And so she was really the person to unlock this, this possibility. That's the best word that I can really land on, of becoming a store manager. Store managers have, the ability to touch the entire team, to inspire them, to really get to know people on a different level, offer advice and opinions, and also be really tough on them, like
yeah.
Challenge people and, you know, give them a little tough love so that they can be the best version of themselves. And I was like, I remember sitting in that interview, my first interview, and I was like, I want to be her and I'm actually going to be better than her. And not in a conceited way,
right.
But I was like, that's so... You know, the journey of my tenure with the company was just really growing. It was like learning everything and like throwing myself into the community because it's all about people. It's all about connection and really caring for people in such a deep way that it lit me up every single day. And it just fueled me to keep going, to keep growing. Yeah. And I didn't stop.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you remember any of the specific questions she asked you in your interview that really kind of caused you to do some internal work?
I think like I don't remember a ton, but what I remember kind of concepts.
Yeah.
So choosing happiness has always stuck with me. And choice, even to this day after 8 years. So the first moment of being introduced to this company, she introduced choice. And still to this day, after like all of the experiences that I've gone through, all of the trainings, the seminars, the conferences, you name it, the one thing that I walked away with is the value of choice. And that is something that I choose who I get to be every single day. And some days I'm not the person that I know I am. And that's okay, but I don't beat myself up over it.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of work to like not go down that rabbit hole, but it's being aware that I'm not being the best version of myself. And how do I choose then to like get over it? Do I need to maybe turn on my favorite music and dance wildly in my house? Probably. Do I need to go for a drive in the car? Do I need to call my best friend and just like get out of my own head? I have these tactics to bring me back to that, but that's been the most valuable lesson. So she introduced it. Still to this day, it's something that I practice every single day, and it's what I want to continue doing for people because it's been so valuable for me.
Absolutely. And so speaking of choices, you have now left Lululemon very recently, so I won't speak for you. Tell me a little bit about what caused that decision. What was the catalyst for that? Obviously, you were so happy there and what you're doing now.
Yeah. That company gave me so much. It gave me an outlet and a platform to really look within. And it gave me so many tools and resources to hold on to that feeling and those feelings for a really long time, years. And what I didn't realize was not everybody has had gone through those experiences that I've gone through. People's companies don't pay for them to go to a weekend long personal development course,
right?
Or just every staff meeting, it's curated around self.
Yeah.
Or I would go to leadership conferences every year, and it was like imagine Tony Robbins on steroids. It was like that for 3 days. I'm like, this is unbelievable. And for a long time, I thought every company was like that. And then I quickly realized by, again, like really getting into relationship with our community was like, people that I would connect with and really share the culture of Lululemon and hear the culture of their company, like they weren't aligned.
Yeah.
They didn't fuse. And I was like, wait a second, how about I come into your real estate company and lead you guys through some vision and goals? They were like, yes. And I'm like, and yoga. They're like, absolutely. So that was like, I kind of dabbed a little bit around what I want to do a while ago. And it fueled me. I was like, wait, people don't have this.
Yeah.
Companies don't have corporate wellness programs. People don't talk about themselves openly. Like my husband laughs because he's like, I mean, you guys talk about your feelings. Like no other companies like let you talk about your feelings. And I'm like, but we should.
Yeah.
We should, because that's when you get to the root of things, is like when you actually understand what's going on and you can either help them like get out of it or hold them accountable to saying like, you're in choice. Like you can't stay in this funk forever.
Right.
So in dabbling with, working with other companies outside of Lululemon, that was like, oh, wait, maybe this is a thing. Maybe this is something that I have to offer, because I love getting in front of people. I love leading people. I love inspiring people. I love making people feel something different because I was in front of them. And that's the, like, that's what's led me here. And it was like that little voice in the back of your head that you kind of ignore because you're like, but I'm happy. I'm in this amazing job. I have this incredible life. It gives me a lot of fulfillment. But am I really living into who I meant to be? And I was playing small. Like for 8 years, this company has allowed me to play really, really big. And over last holiday, I was like, I'm ready for something different. I'm ready for something different, not only for me to be a better mom to my kids, because retail is tough.
Yeah.
And I was choosing work often, and it came at the cost of missing Christmas performances and things that I just was like, okay, I need to evaluate my priorities and I need to make a choice. So last October, I made a choice, like I'm going to leave the company and I'm going to do this work of empowering women. I want to inspire girls and I want to work with moms and I want to give them all of the tools and the resources so they can have what I have, that they can really elevate their potential and look within to say, like, am I living my best life?
I love that. Oh, it gives me goosebumps.
Oh, that was long-winded.
And I mean, how do you, so, you know, you decide that you're ready and that you've had that voice for a while, but then the actual, you know, having that conversation with your manager at Lululemon and telling your husband, like, okay, like, I'm really going to do this thing and going to your last day at Lululemon and all of these kind of like milestone, wow, this is really happening moments. What quiets the very normal, you know, expected thoughts of how am I going to make money quickly? Or what if the business doesn't work? What if this worked for a couple places that I went, but there's not a big enough market for this? All the entrepreneurship, normal thoughts. And then of course yours is very near and dear to your heart. So how do you combat those doubts enough to still go through with it?
It's a really great question. And I feel like I'm still really battling that. But what continues to lead me is my heart. And I think that overcomes all of the fears, all of the doubts when I do have those conversations with myself. Because trust me, yeah. I've been there. like, what am I doing? Like, right. Do people want this? And then I remember that, like, I wanted it.
Yeah.
And someone will want this when they're ready. It might not be for everybody. And I'm okay not having everybody be on board with what I'm creating. But what I know is like my heart is so in it. And I know what it feels like for me. And I'm a big feeler. Like I know when I give myself to somebody else in a way that allows them to see something new for themselves or to help them make a choice or a really tough decision, that ignites me and that continues to drive me. So I know that if I continue to like really leverage that piece of me, that the rest will kind of just quiet.
Yeah.
Because I can't be stuck in my head. And I can't wait for it to be perfect. And I also have been in that place where I'm like, okay, I'm 4 weeks out. I feel like I should have a company name and business cards and like a beautiful logo. And I'm like, what? No, I just need to get in front of people.
Yeah.
I'm here to make a difference for people. And it's not about me. It's about helping people see their potential and to elevate what they already have. They're already enough, but how do we elevate it
so
that they're 1% better every single day?
Absolutely. And what, well, I guess this is a two-part question. So what kind of, you know, you say going through vision and goals, do you have like tools or books or exercises or activities? Like what kind of tangible things do you do that really helps people narrow that in when you're leading one of these vision and goals or having a one-off conversation?
Yeah, I'm creating a business based off of experiences that I've gone through. So when I think of like, is this going to work? Or like, it's already, like people are already doing it.
Yeah.
And then I have the conversation like, but no one's me.
Absolutely.
So same with you. It's like you have this nutritional or like this nutrition business, and a lot of people
do. I'm not the first one. Right.
But people buy you because you're you. And I know that I'm no one else is me. And I can, that's what I'm uniquely qualified to deliver is just myself. Mm-hmm. So what am I going to do that people can probably go find in a book or go to a seminar? And it's me. So like that keeps me grounded. But what I want to deliver is I want people to tap into their purpose. I really want to drive home. Like what makes you tick? Yeah. What are the things that like are kind of in the back of your mind that you've been thinking about that you probably haven't shared with a lot of people?
Yeah.
That you want to share with me. So purpose is what helps people live a really big life. Whether you do it for a career or you find a hobby in it, or you just journal about it, like there are different ways for people to really tap into their purpose. So purpose is one of the pillars that I really want to focus on. The second is vision. So what is your ideal life? Tell me the life that you want to live and how do we get you there? Yeah. Because it's possible. It's totally as possible. I'm the queen of optimism. Like nothing is impossible in my life. And I am a champion for people. So I will always tell people, let's get you there.
Yeah.
So from vision comes goals. How do we actually create steps to achieving that? And how do you want to feel? Because sometimes your goals aren't always going to come to life. So how do you detach from the outcome, but not get stuck in that, but feel what that feels like and then overcome that and just kind of course correct to get back on track. And then the last is habit. Like how do we create positive habits so that you can live a full life, that you can really tap into all of the things that you're meant to do on this earth? Like we all are here for a reason. I have gifts, you have gifts. And how do we make sure that everybody sees that their worth is worth something?
That's
kind of my business plan in a nutshell. And I think another really big piece that people need to talk about is how to improvise.
Yeah.
If you want to be a really powerful leader, how can, and leader as in someone who's running a company, someone who is a parent, someone who is just a student, it doesn't matter. I feel everyone is a leader. But it's when it's that self-control, when you are going down a path and it doesn't go down, it's not the same path that you had envisioned and hoped. It's like in that moment where it doesn't go right, it's how do you turn left and how do you be okay with that? How do you deal with those feelings versus getting anxiety versus getting frustrated, pissed off,
right?
Discouraged, and then it stops. So improvision is something that I think is really powerful to teach people. And it's hard, you know, when you're throwing your 4-year-old's birthday party and you're like, but that pinata wasn't supposed to have a cape. It's, you know, it's a different superhero. It's like, hang on. Yeah. Whoa, it's okay. How
it's
do
a
we
new
teach?
Superhero. Yeah.
Yeah. How do we teach people to like, it is what it is and don't let it ruin who you are.
Yeah. I love that. Gosh, I have so many follow-up questions, but I love the improvising piece because it can be so much easier to make a plan and make a set goal. And especially for some of us more type A, you know, business owners, it's like X, Y, Z gets me there, right? So when X doesn't look like it's supposed to be, it's really easy to get, like you said, frustrated and discouraged or, you know, feel like, oh, well, now am I on the wrong path? And,
right.
And being able to adjust your sales. I mean, I love that.
Totally. Yeah. And I learned it from one of my dear mentors works in baseball and she deals with the same conversation with men and baseball players. And when her and I talked about this business and we connected over doing the same work, I was like, wait a second, you're leading vision and goals. You're leading purpose work. You're talking about habits and you're also, wait, what, but... And she's like, but that's okay. Like we need this message to be heard from everybody, girls, boys, men, women, it doesn't matter. So the people I'm impacting is going to be totally different than the people you're impacting because I had that moment of like, well, she should just do it.
Right.
She's better at it. She's 5 years ahead of me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a second. Nope. I have something. I have this gift. I've been tapped. And it would like really be a disservice if I didn't fulfill that urge, that like me really leading with my heart, if I didn't follow through with this.
I love that.
Yeah.
And something, you know, that I think about with a lot of clients that I work with, and I'm sure you've had conversations like this, or I've noticed this too in the people that you've worked with, is people are so busy. Like, we're so busy and we have all these different distractions with our social media and work and all the things that keep us from doing that internal work, that it's really easy and normal to go day by day and then, you know, month by month, years by years, never thinking about your purpose or never thinking about your vision. And I have people who come to me and say, well, I don't know how, you know, I gained the weight. And it's like, well, I can tell you how you gained the weight, but you just didn't notice, right? Or maybe you did, but you were too, quote unquote, busy to sit and think on it. And I think especially that internal stuff that takes those exercises or the right conversation or a series of conversations to really tap into. I mean, have you had people that have, that you've worked with or that have, you've had conversations with who have been like, wow, I've never thought about my purpose.
Absolutely. And I, like, again, being at Lululemon for 8 years, I thought everyone in the world talked about purpose.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, we like rock in the United States of America.
Yeah.
Wow. And then when I would coach and develop my team and really challenge them to, like, just, you know, like, what piques your interest? What are your hobbies? What makes you you? Like, what do you love? And how do we kind of peel back the layers to what that is to really get down? Because it is work.
Yeah.
It is work. It is not a quick, I'm going to jump on Google and like go through a worksheet. It's like deep introspection and reflection and a lot of curious questions to say like, what makes me me and what do I really like? And that, like, that was my biggest joy in helping people at Lululemon. And it was so fun to just like be a mirror to people who couldn't even put the mirror up to themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing, is I want to be a mirror for people. And I hope then people can like continue to look at themselves the way that I see them. I'll give you a quick example.
Yeah.
One of my old assistant managers, every Wednesday we'd have a manager's call, and she would braid my hair and brush it out and like literally bring her curling irons to the store. I'm like, what are you doing here? Like, you need to go to cosmetology school. You've got to be a hairdresser. Like, she would do these incredible braids. And I mean, I know only how to like comb my hair and put it in a ponytail. Like,
same.
Right?
Yeah.
So there was something really unique about her that she didn't even know that she had a skill, and she knew she was good at it. But like showing her like, hey, and then of course it's the conversation like, I'm too old, I don't have enough money, I can't start new. And that's where I come in. And it's like, says who? Why not? I ask the questions back so that people and her can look within and be like, yeah, I'm the only one stopping myself. So sure enough, we continue to really like, I would say, mold that curiosity, that skill, until she finally was like, I'm ready to leave. I've saved up enough money. Like, we would go through, okay, what's your purpose? What's your vision? Goals? How do we write a goal for you to save money so that you can go to school? And there comes a point in time when people would quit, and they wouldn't quit on me. They would quit to go do what they are called to do. And in this moment, she was like, I'm going to go. I'm going to go do hair. I'm going to go to school. And now she's thriving. She's an amazing hairdresser. And it's like, that's just one example of a lot of people that I've helped identify who they are and what they're here to do. And just because she's like not doing the same thing I'm doing, because we shouldn't all be doing the same thing I'm doing, it's amazing, because we need people to be different. We need the world to work because of how different and unique we all are.
Yeah. And you know, before we hopped on, we were talking about the word just, and I think that's a really interesting point. Is I think that a lot of people, and honestly, before I found my passion for nutrition, I think I felt very similar, that I am just a student, or someone might be thinking, well, I don't have a cool skill like braiding hair. I'm just a mom. Mm-hmm. And what do you say to people that feel like they don't have something that's marketable, whether it's for a business or just a passion to pour into.
Yeah, I think the word just, I, again, having this conversation with my girlfriend, I was telling her, I'm just a mom who is looking to do something more. And she's like, but you just being a mom is enough. And being just a student is enough. Like, there's a lot of pressure on us, whether it comes from family, it comes from societal norms, whatever it may be. Like, we always have to strive for more. But it's what's in people's heart that is the most important thing that we overlook.
Absolutely.
And I just want the word just. I know. Oh, man. Buzzword. Ding me. I watched a documentary last night about a woman in New York, and she wanted to be a pastry chef. And the reason why she got into baking was because of her grandma. And she loved baking, baked cakes, cookies. That was like her childhood. But when she moved to New York and became this amazing pastry chef after culinary school, she realized that, like, being a pastry chef was not what she wanted to do. She was like, I want to open up a bakery, but I'm in New York, but I've worked at these incredible restaurants, and I don't know if I'm going to make it. But I know that if I open a bakery, I'm going to let a lot of people down. I'm going to let my family down. I'm going to let my parents down. I'm going to let whoever down. And then she realized, like, F it. Like, what do I have to lose? But that's what my heart is telling me to do. And now she opened up this incredible bakery that's thriving in New York. And she makes all of her grandmother's recipes. It's like, it's everything that we have is within us. And if we tap into what drives us, what, like, brings us back to those things that we just love, but we're kind of, like, too afraid to talk about it or to make it real, that's what people need to tap into. That's the good stuff. So follow your heart, follow your dreams. Like, don't, like, the whole looking good thing is, like, what makes people stay in a job for 40 years and they get stuck. But it's like, if you put 3 years into what you love to do, imagine the freedom that comes with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So many people don't want to have those hard conversations. Like, you know, so that baker from the documentary is going to have to tell her parents, who will be disappointed that she's not going to be a pastry chef. And people don't want to have those hard conversations, or they don't want to face potential public ridicule, which it's probably, you know, in their head a lot worse than it really is. But they don't want to face those things. But really, once you get past those, and once you're at the end of your life, like, you're not going to think about what they thought. You know, you won't be friends with those people. Your family's opinions of the things you did won't matter. It's just like that poster that's up in high school that's like the jeans that you wear, you know? Nobody's going to remember the jeans you wore
in high school.
No one is. And it sounds cliche, but it's so true. And if you can just get past that, you know, if the only thing standing in your way is the potential letting somebody down or somebody's opinion of you, that's such a small thing to let stand in your way of something so big.
Exactly. And I need, it's my, like, whoever's listening to this, this is my invitation to all of you to ask yourself that question. Like, are you living the life that you love? And are you living a purposeful life? And what are the things that you haven't told anybody that you love? And maybe that is something that you can just play with.
Yeah.
It might not be you co-quit your job,
right,
you know, the next day, but it's something to explore. And what happens when you explore that, like, the universe is magical. It, like, manifests and it builds and it grows and more things. You'll be like, whoa, I am now seeing this come into reality because I actually said it. So be careful if you don't want it to actually happen, be careful of actually saying it. But it's an invitation for people to live a big life and a life of choice, because I need people in this world to be kind to people. And when you are doing the things that you love, like, we show people more respect.
Absolutely.
We help people out more. We're more empathetic. And if we're just withholding that amazingness that we all have inside of us, like,
that's doing yourself a disservice, but it's also doing your community a disservice. So that's what I want people to tap into. It's like, how do we all hold hands and like move forward together? Because I need it. My kids need it. And your kids need it. So how do we tap into that heart space of like, what do we need to wake up? What do we need to wake up? Yeah. Because we need to. You need to.
I was just telling somebody the other day that I was contemplating a next project. And I said, but I haven't put it out in the world too much yet because I have put things out in the world that happen really quickly. Yeah. And I've noticed, you know, there's been cases where I put stuff out in the world and it kind of takes a while for the universe to catch up with you. And there's been other things that I've put out in the world and then it comes together really quick. And like the universe was ready to meet me right there.
Absolutely.
And so I told them, I was like, I've noticed that sometimes the universe works quicker than I'm ready for.
Absolutely. So people just need to be aware of that. I love it.
And, you know, when we were chatting prior to this interview, you said something that just gave me goosebumps, so I need to share it. And it was, quote, risk-taking isn't for the faint of heart, but I'm here to say that it's possible for everyone. The payoff is worth it, your life is worth it, and so is your happiness. So can you just expand on that a little bit and tell me, you know, how you've come into owning this thought process and a little bit about, you know, I think people could easily assume that you've kind of just always thought this way or that Lululemon really helped you cultivate this, but they're not going to go work at Lululemon, you know, and what's kind of been the catalyst for helping you narrow your purpose and vision when obviously you're so good at helping other people do that, but doing it for yourself and yeah, I mean, being able to own that.
Wow. That's a big question. So when I said risk taking, you're right. I would say Lululemon didn't set me up to like become this risk taker.
Right.
But it also allowed me, it gave me tools and resources to really just come into my own. Like I know who I am and it allows me to be in choice every single day. So if something isn't serving me anymore, I have the confidence to take that risk. Or if I'm nudged to do something, it's like, oh, don't ignore that because I've learned that it's only going to continue to show up and manifest in a different way. So like, why don't you just explore what that little nudge is now? And if it's starting a business, if it's calling your father who you haven't talked to in years, it's like listening to your body will help you make those decisions. And when I said that risk taking, I mean, because I've heard it before, it's like we say that not everyone's a risk taker, not everyone's a leader. I find that to be so false. I, like I said, champion for people. No matter who you are or where you're at in your life, you can do what you want. You can do it. And we might just need somebody to stand. Like stand for us. Like somebody stood for me to say like you deserve to live your best life. And that was like through different courses, but
sure.
I felt what that felt like to have somebody really see me as me again, holding that mirror up to myself when I wasn't ready to hold it up for myself. And that's where I'm like, I want everyone to know that they can be risk takers. The payoff is so worth it. And this story, like why I'm sitting here today is because I've done it twice. I know leaving my corporate job when I first got out of college to jump into Lululemon was really scary. But what I knew was 8 years of my life has been the most fulfilling 8 years of my life. And that's like as silly as that sounds, but I now know because of the growth and the grind, it wasn't always easy. Like I had some really dark and shitty days, but I knew that the payoff was worth it. So it led me to this position that I'm in now of like, you're ready. That little nudge, it was telling me you have something bigger. You have something bigger to do because you've really caressed it and figured out what that was, and it's developing people. And how do I now go do that? And I didn't know that at a young age, being outgoing would serve me well. But as silly as it is, like, I just love people. That's my purpose. My purpose is to tap into other people's lives to help them see their potential. Absolutely. And people can do it. People can do it. Anyone can do it. So it's not just for the faint of heart. It's for everyone.
That's perfect. I love that. And so, of course, you're a woman and a mother, but what pulls you so strongly to work with this specific demographic? Have you worked with women in the past and really enjoyed that? Or if you have had women that have poured into your life, or what kind of makes you want to own that young girls and kind of mom population?
So I grew up in a really awesome household. I had great parents. I had an awesome sibling. I had great grandparents, and they always gave me positive affirmations. They, on a daily basis, told me how beautiful I was. They would make me repeat it back to them. I'm beautiful. I'm this. Like, I'm, you know, so I grew up learning how beautiful I was, whether I felt it or not, or if I was bullied at school. I never let that get to me because I was ingrained in beauty because I heard it from all the most important people in my life gave that to me. And like, what a gift. And now what I see in schools and even as teenagers, girls grow up into college, body issues, negative self-talk, no self-love, no self-worth, that pains me. And that's, again, where I'm like, I am called to, like, be their cheerleader.
Yeah.
To be like, let me give you tools and, like, let's talk about it. Let me meet you where you're at and let me teach you how to find yourself again because it's important. It will carry – it's like carrying a suitcase for the rest of your life. Right. It's that baggage that, like, cut it off. You don't need it.
Yeah.
So I want to give back to people – who are just needing a little insight, a little help to get them back on their feet, but know that everything that they have is within them. They don't need to seek anyone else's approval. It's all within them. So how kindly are they talking to themselves? So that's really important for me to talk to girls that way. But I also think with moms, I suffered from postpartum. And I remember, like, all I ever wanted to be was a mother. And I remember, like, going into that dark space of, like, why me? I'm happy. I'm really happy. And, like, why am I feeling depressed? And I don't know if I'm going to come out of it. I am not going to ask for help because I am powerful. I'm not going to let anybody know that I don't have my shit together. And it was in that moment that I'm like, hang on, like, go to your tool belt and figure out what you need, because I was miserable. Yeah. I didn't know who I was. I completely lost myself. And there wasn't a space for me to turn to. And I was actually afraid to even pretend or to even, like, share these feelings with people because I didn't want to be judged. I felt super guilty. And all of the tools and the experiences that I went through led me to getting out of it. So I went back to my mat. I knew yoga was the best way for me to heal. Asking for help, as silly as that tool is, it's really powerful.
Yeah.
When you can ask people for help, like, hey, can you help me so I can go work out? Because I know that that makes me feel good.
Right.
Can you come and just sit with me while I am pumping so I can talk to a human versus an infant?
Right.
So long-winded story. My story has led me to helping moms. I want them to know that I want to offer a space for them to come as they are and to know that, like, I will help them find themselves again. So girls, women, moms, like, the scale is long of who I want to impact, but I know that without the things that I had in my tool belt, I don't know where I'd be today. And I just want to, give back to the people who need me.
Yeah. And help them build that tool belt.
Absolutely.
And how empowering is that? You know, I can totally relate in the sense that when I'm struggling with something, my first thought is, I'm a strong, independent woman. I don't need help, right?
Like, and you do the snap, snap, and
I can do this. Yes. I don't need anybody else.
Don't you help me.
Right. But knowing what tools to use from experiences, from, you know, learning from people like yourself, that's how you get out of those things. Not faking it till you make it that you're going to be okay, when really maybe you do need one of your tools and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's like, how do we make tools sexy?
Yeah. I love that.
Yes. That might be a, that may be a tagline.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're okay. Discovering your branding in this conversation.
Totally.
One thing that I want to touch on before we dive into some final questions here is self-care. You and I have talked about this before, and you kind of talked about the self-love, I think, really lends itself well to that. So can you just expand a little bit on what does self-care mean to you and what is the value of that?
Self-care for me, in my own words, my definition is I put myself first. And I, luckily, I feel like all of these pivotal moments in my life has made me become the woman that I am. And I learned, I love learning through other people, whether it's collaborating from other people or seeing someone else's story. But I got to see my mom really struggle with this. I never saw her eat anything healthy growing up. I never saw her work out. She always put my brother and I first. Her marriage was constantly suffering. And it wasn't until their divorce that she gave me really sound advice. And it was like, don't ever put your happiness in the hands of anybody else. And so that I've like hung on to that. And even through my marriage, and it hasn't been perfect with our marriage either, but it's like, I know that I have to put myself first. Same with kids, because we wear these hats and it's like, I'm wearing the hat of mom, or I'm wearing the hat of manager, I'm wearing the hat of entrepreneur. And it's like, all of those hats are amazing. But how do you make sure that you, after all those hats are off, you make sure that you have what you need? And it looks differently for everybody. Some people need their coffee in the morning. Some people need their workouts. So it's figuring out what they need to feel like themselves. And they might need to actually like let go of being someone else's to put themselves first. And I just selfishly have to.
Yeah.
And I want to give permission to a lot of men and women to say, put yourself first. Because if you're not first, if you're not good, then you can't be good for other people.
Absolutely.
And it's funny because I'm very big on energy as well. So it's like, even though you don't think your energy transfers to people, when you're having a bad day, like whether it's an eye roll, whether it's a head down, like people pick up on it. And then it sticks with them like, oh God, she's pissed at me because she gave me the eye roll, or she like, whatever.
Right.
It's like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, it's always a really good check-in too of like, how is my energy?
Yeah.
And if I'm depleting, then what do I need to do to like fill myself back up? Because other people do not deserve my baggage right now. So take care of yourself.
I love that. That's perfect. Is there a quote or a framework that has shaped the way that you live your life? And if that's too big to think about, is there one that you've come across in the last year or so that really resonates with you?
I love that you asked this. And one that just really resonates with me is how you do anything is how you do everything. So when you think about when you wake up in the morning and your bed is unmade, like the first thing I do in the morning is make my bed.
That's what I do. I love
you
that.
Do?
Yes.
Well, and it's like, gosh, at the end of the night, and sometimes I have to give my permission, like, or I have to give myself permission, like, I am not going to clean up that toy room, but I'm like, if I want to live this life, like, I am going to have to pick up my toy, like, my kids' toys. And, like, it makes me feel good if I'm like, you know what, I have laundry piled up, and I'm just going to leave it. And I'm like, nope. Because it's going to make me feel good in the morning that I'm not going to spend 15 minutes doing it. So I really look at that as how I do anything is how I do everything. How I communicate with my friends or family, how I am with business, how I interact with people. It rings true in all areas of my life. So I love that quote.
That's perfect. If you could ask everyone to do something specific that you believe would change their life for the better, what would it be?
Listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. Listen to that nudge. Listen to that really quiet voice that when you are doing something that you love and you walk away from it, but it still is like vibrating in your body, that's like, don't look away. Like, look harder, look within.
That's perfect. How can people connect with you or get involved with your upcoming business?
Oh my gosh, this is so fun. Well, I don't have a website. I don't have a business name.
Perfect. But, love it.
More to come. Yes. And you can find me on Instagram. I'm really trying to be better at social media. I'm not great at it, but I'm going to say that I'm working on being great.
Perfect. And so I'll tag you in the show.
Yeah, I was going to say, follow me. I like to say, follow the fun. That's my tagline. That's for amazing. Myself. Follow the fun. So find me on Facebook or Instagram.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And before I let you go, what do you believe are the ingredients of a healthy life?
Ooh, ingredients for a healthy life. Saying yes to yourself. Love. And connection.
That's perfect.
That's awesome. It.
Thank you so much for being here, Jill. It was truly a pleasure, and I am so excited for you.
Oh, and all pleasure is all mine. Thank you.
Before you head out, just a few quick things. In the show notes of this episode, you can find all the links and recommendations that we discussed in this interview, so make sure you check that out. Secondly, if you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast because I have lots of good stuff coming up and I don't want you to miss out. And lastly, thank you so much for tuning in. If you have any questions for me, suggestions for the show, or just want to spread the love, find me on Instagram at HeyPresley or head over to heypresley.com/podcast. Until next time, continue living your healthiest, happiest life, and we'll chat soon.